Aloha, Love Tribe. Oh my God, what a super special day. We've got Dredd here. He's in Ghana at the African Bitcoin Conference. What's going on, my friend? So good to see you.
What's going on, DJ? Hey, brother. Thank you for inviting me. I know I'm all the way across the world, but I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my God, hold on. I gotta turn. There we go. I was just like, my YouTube's on. Okay. Hey, so. What, tell me, give me the scoop. I've been seeing all these great posts from everybody. What's happening?
It's hard to say. Right now we are in a break, but there's been conference, there's been workshops all day. There's been people talking. We've had human rights speeches. We've had technical speeches, and it's been like probably one of the best Bitcoin conferences I've ever attended by far. And that's saying a lot because I've gone to a lot of these conferences, right? This one is. It's amazing.
So what's so special? Why is it so amazing?
I think it's mainly because, you know, it's one thing to say that some conferences like to talk about, you know, the number go up, the price, or, you know, the bullishness and how Bitcoin's going to fix everything. Well, here it's a little bit different. Here they're actually talking about what's currently being fixed. Like they actually talk about, you know, what communities are now using it, what businesses are currently using it to, like, you know, for remittances or for businesses through mobile money, or for, you know, as simple as connecting to your utility bills to pay them. But then the best stories are the ones that hit you the hardest, right? It's the ones that people who are fighting oppression, who have been kicked out of their own country because of dictators or because of you know, years and generations of just human rights abuses. And hearing how Bitcoin is actually helping the people who've been fighting these fights for decades now have a much better tool to fight with, and the immediate benefits of using Bitcoin to help fight these, or help, I shouldn't say fight, because I feel like it's more of a journey than a fight. When you're really just going for human rights, it's always a journey. And just seeing them use it it's amazing. I mean, I could tell you so many stories about the ways it's being used, but I'd start crying on camera right now. So I'm just going to keep it at, let's just say it's been an amazing and eye-opening experience on seeing the merger of Bitcoin, but not just Bitcoin, the hyper-Bitcoinization hype, Bitcoin and the real world. Let's fix the money and fix the human rights problems that we have in the world because we fixed the money. That I've never seen that merger happen so seamlessly as I've seen here at this Bitcoin conference.
And so, because obviously you and I, we met at Oslo Freedom Forum a year ago, and because we were both excited about obviously human rights. And so to see this in real time at scale, hopefully at growing scale as we go, like, I have so many questions. Like, this is just so great. And obviously we got to see each other in El Salvador. Say it again. Can you say it again?
I might even pull some people in if I see them walking by.
Totally,
I might,
dude.
Even pull some people in.
100%. Pull whoever you want in to say hello. That would be magnificent. And so, you know, it sounds like the spirit there, everybody's really excited and high on real use cases. And I think obviously in like privileged first worlds here, like the United States, people don't understand why Bitcoin is such a tool for liberation. And they don't understand, like, what can we say to an audience here that might not have, you know, a clear understanding why Bitcoin is this tool for human rights? Like, what is the use case that is truly getting people in a state more of an opportunity to have freedom, financial freedom, and freedom from oppression and their, you know, authoritarian regimes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard bridge to cross, like mentally. I mean, if you've lived in a first world country all your life, or in a very protected neighborhood all your life, you can't really relate to a lot of issues that are happening, right? So if you go from one extreme, which is, you know, complete financial slavery through the CFA franc, or actual literal human trafficking happening across the Etruria border, you know, you go from that to, and it's really loud in here. Sorry about that.
Right. It's okay. Don't worry. We're making do here. This is a great opportunity to connect with you. I'm so grateful. Yeah.
You go from something as bad as like human rights trafficking, human trafficking and abuse of human rights to just a simple increase in inflation, like constant increase in the rate of inflation across all these currencies, and you keep on breaking it down to smaller and smaller issues like that until you get to something as simple as just the eggs and the bread that I bought last week have gone up 30%, and I have to buy them at more money this week. Then you break it down to what something in the U.S. might understand to say, well, the beef that I bought, the chicken that I bought for Thanksgiving last year, that went up in price when you went to the supermarket to buy your Thanksgiving turkey this year, right? Like all meats in America have gone up in price, maybe a small percentage, yeah. But the inflation is there. So if you let an American think about the inflation that they have to face and then multiply that by 100, they might understand why Bitcoin is a tool for liberation from not only financial slavery, but you know all the other things that come from financial slavery as well.
And have you seen, like, I mean, because to me, I imagine people have to make such great sacrifices.
It's Valerie, DJ Valerie Love from Bitcoin Love and Music.
Bitcoin Peace and Music.
Sorry, Bitcoin Peace and Music.
That's okay.
Yeah. So people just come by and say hi.
We have DJs and the lightning. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
We have a hey. The Lightning Labs team.
Oh yeah.
So
have the
you,
DJ.
Michelle, have you met Michelle? Ciaga, Michelle Ciaga on Twitter.
Okay.
And she's the official head DJ at Lightning Labs.
Nice.
Really good house music DJ. She played
DJing
in Miami.
Tonight?
No, she should be here.
Oh,
but definitely check out. We have a lot of music enthusiasts in the community. Oh, wow. I think we just lost power.
I think we did. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. No, I can see you guys. Are you guys good? So, oh my gosh.
Ciaga, DJ yeah. Michelle.
Oh, what so what is her name? Michelle what?
Michelle Ciaga.
Ciaga.
At Lightning Labs. See, the thing is, I'm an aspiring DJ, but like I got really busy lately. I do know how to use CDJs. I do have some potential DJ sets.
I heard you freestyle a little bit too.
I don't know. I think you're overestimating my abilities to be a DJ, but it's like my aspirational desire to be a DJ, but Michelle is an actual DJ.
Okay.
I think that's great. Well, we met last year at Oslo Freedom Forum and talked about you DJing and your budding DJ career briefly when we were outside.
Exactly. And I was like, I know. I need to get on it. I need some peer pressure, some social pressure.
Pressure
to keep DJing. we have a number of really cool musicians. So Sam Means from Lightning Store and Wave Lake Now. He's an indie musician, guitarist. There's some folks. I know Crypto Graffiti or Cryptograffiti, however you want to. I always call him Crypto Graffiti, has done some lightning-powered DJ sets as well.
Oh, cool.
On the house side of things. Yeah.
Well, this is exciting because we're putting together, just so you both know, I think I talked to you about it, Dredd, in El Salvador, we're putting together Satoshi the Cyber Opera. And the intention is to create the most beautiful, gorgeous experience for art and music and celebrating the life of Satoshi, but to orange pill the world at festivals and conferences and through music. So we've already got over 50 people on the team from all over the world who are musicians, artists, creators, tech. We're trying to understand, like, how can we help young artists and musicians around the world utilize Lightning and so that we can pay them for their royalties in the future. So what do you guys say about that? Like, we're trying to understand, like, value splits.
Yeah, I love it. Is it a physical event? Is it going to be somewhere?
Yeah, it's going to be all over. And we're going to make it open source.
Oh, okay. So basically people in their communities will organize local events to be a part of this?
Exactly. And so what? Well, the first one we're going to be at is Pacific Bitcoin next year in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
I know a number of builders in the Lightning community are working on some really cool solutions around that. There's Wave Lake, specifically targeting the musician community, Fountain App that's doing podcasters,
yep.
But they're really interested in moving toward things like live streaming as well. Crypto Graffiti did his thing there as well. There was also a Lightning plugin for Twitch. Some developers built. So yeah, there are a lot of emerging solutions there, and I know a bunch of my friends who are actual DJs, unlike me, but soon enough I will be, are really excited about getting more into my thing. So I'm going to recruit them as well.
And also, well, I think it's cool. Like, well, what about like the artists and the musicians there in Ghana and Africa? Like thinking about like, because again, like our goal is how do we help them?
From college, Nigeria, and he's really interested in the whole earning economy and the ability for musicians and creators here in this region to earn. Because people think of, you know, Bitcoin and Lightning as, okay, I can pay with Lightning, but actually earning with Lightning is huge. It opens up opportunities for people that, you know, just wouldn't have had that otherwise. So there's, I think there's massive potential around that. And by this time next year, at the next Africa Bitcoin Conference, we'll see a lot more happening.
And a lot more people earning, I think. That was a strong message here today. That everybody knows that, you know, earning is like a number one way to have Bitcoin. You don't have to just trade it. You don't have to just buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want more Bitcoin, right?
Everybody.
I don't know. Crazy people.
Definitely check out the Lightning Music and DJ crew.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. It's great seeing you. Aloha. Yay, thanks. That's great.
Is that your first drop-in guest?
Perfect timing. I know. I love it, man. What a treat. It's so exciting to consider the different ways that people can earn using Bitcoin, right? And like, so have you seen any folks on the, I mean, I know there's like Mary who's doing all the gaming, you know, and do you know who Mary is?
Mary's amazing.
Dude, I know.
Yeah, I met her. She's working with it now. Not only working with Bitnob in terms of, you know, bringing out their product and their brand, but she's like loved by the community here. Like, everybody knows her. You know, she's very plugged in, and she actually promised me an interview too. So maybe I can get her to stop by and say hi.
Oh my god!
But great. In terms of the oh, you know what, Samara, right? Samara,
is that Samara? Oh, I just followed her. No way.
Yeah. Hi. Good. I'm Dre from Jamaica. This is DJ Valerie Love. She would love to say hi to you guys.
Oh, wow.
Streaming from the US. She was
hi.
You guys, you can tell her.
Hi, Samara. Hi. Hello, so nice to meet you. Hey, my name's Valerie. I just started following you this morning. I saw your pictures and you were with Mary and Jack. Like, way to go. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Totally. So let tell everybody here. So my name's Valerie, and this is for the Bitcoin Peace and Music podcast. What kind of music do you love?
I love almost all types of music.
Okay, cool. And then so why are you a Bitcoiner? I want to learn a little bit more about what's your scoop in Bitcoin.
Well, I love learning about new things, and I thought that why don't I just get ahead the curve with learning about new money?
And so how has it been for you to be at this conference? What's it like for you?
It's great. I mean, I get to learn new things. I'm the only child here, and I get to experience it front hand.
What do you think about having like a kids program for like young people at these types of conferences?
It would be great. I mean, I can't wait to have it.
Would you want to participate in making that happen? Yahoo! All right. I know we definitely need more opportunities to bring young folks like you on board. And so what's been your favorite part so far about the African Bitcoin Conference?
That's a hard question. I'd say everything.
And who you obviously get to meet Dredd, who's awesome, sitting right next to you. And I saw you got to be with Mary and you got to be with Jack. Like, have you been following these folks for a while, or is everybody kind of brand new to you?
I've just met these people, but it's just great to meet them and everything. It's very cool.
And so let me ask you this. What's your dream for your life? What would you like to do with your life?
I would like to be a reporter and write books.
Yeah, I love it. And what are you going to write about?
I'm going to write about my life.
Nice.
So that people can be inspired.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to meet you. I would love to do a full interview with you sometime in the future, but I have I'm following you now on Twitter as of this morning. It's so great. And then here you are just walking by with Dredd. That's awesome. I love it. What are your plans for the rest of the day? Do you guys have some more panels and stuff going on?
Like, we have interviews to do.
You do? With who?
So I have one with Mackenzie. Then there's a few others.
Are you excited?
Yes.
That's great. I'm so happy for you. This is so great. Well, what do you want to, if you could tell everybody who's listening right now here, so whether they're, you know, wherever they are in the world, what should they know is, why is Bitcoin an important tool for the future of humanity?
It's a very hard question. I have to think about it. I think it's a new way to transition into a new world to help the country, not even just the country, but the entire world better, so that fiat currency wouldn't really bother people anymore.
Yeah, I think that's great. And how has Bitcoin, I know it's great, how has Bitcoin changed your life personally?
I get to learn about two types of currencies. I get to see, like, wow, I'm at my age learning this right now. So let's say in the future, I might even learn to make it better. I'm like, wow.
I love it. Oh, well, it was so nice to meet you, Samara. And I'm so glad you said yes and are with Dread. And I wish you just the best of success in life. And I can't wait to connect with you again. And then we'll do a deeper dive in a different interview if you're interested. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so, so much. It's so great talking with you. And I wish you so many blessings of love and joy, my friend.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for your time.
That's awesome. Yay. Oh my God, I love it. What a blast, right? Holy cow.
All right. Incredible. Thank you.
Don't mind.
We're live. Anything.
I like your stockings, Elizabeth. You're looking good, mama. Oh my goodness. So, okay. So what else has been going on? What have you guys been up to?
Oh man, we've been doing, what's today's date?
The 7th.
Seventh.
Okay. Scooch. I can see the ladies, but let's see. So you see.
Yeah. They're about to set up for another. Oh, thank you. They're about to set up for another little interview thing going on here. So
nice.
And also, are we centered? You know?
We're having a double interview. I love it. Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh. So
it's pretty cool what's going on. Like, you can tell there's a million things going on here. There's so many people, you know, meeting each other. Like, this is, it's like a cross-continental merge of minds that I don't think has happened before, to be honest with you. So it's so awesome.
Yeah. It's so exciting. And I mean, it sounds like it's going to be, you know, a yearly event. Is this like the right every year? Do you think they'll be doing it beginning of December, like right after Thanksgiving-ish?
I think so. I think it feels like the right time because it's right before all the really big holiday rush across both continents.
Yeah.
And right after a lot of the existing events that are happening in the US and in the West, you know, and in Latin America. So I think that's going to be amazing when they really get going and people know about the conference more and plan for it next year.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of people showing up.
Oh my gosh. And have you been to Ghana before? Is this your first time there?
Yeah, this is not only my first time to Ghana, it's my first time on the continent of Africa.
Is it really? Oh, wow. Okay, so what? Tell me what that's like for you. How is it?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Am I clear? Am I loud and clear?
Yeah, you're okay. It cut out for a few seconds. Yeah.
So, shit. For me, it's been... No, I'm gone again.
No, you're okay. Keep going. You're good.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a journey. First, I flew from Florida, so it was very, very long. You know, 28 hours with layovers. But when I got here, it's hard to explain how it felt. You walk off the plane, and you know, you see somewhere that looks like home because it looked like Jamaica, but it was so much beauty, so much land, so much, and all. You know,
people that were happy, to see people showing up. They're happy to see, but at the same time, they were real. Like, you know, there are problems here just like any other country. And talking to the average person from Ghana, they're not afraid to tell you what the problems are. They're not afraid to try and solve them as well. It's one of the places that I realized people solve their problems as quickly as they find their problems here. And I love that. I love the fact that
Can you say that one more time? People solve their problems by what?
As soon as they have a problem, they start working on solving it.
Got it.
They don't just, you know, whine or wait around or ask for help. No, it seems to be a very culturally different thing than I'm seeing in the Western world, where the average person here is hustling to solve their problem, whatever the problem is. And they have big problems here, like, you know, just like in Jamaica. But, you know, the difference I feel here is that there's a go-getter attitude. This is the way Americans would say it.
Uh-huh.
It's a go-getter attitude that fixes whatever the issue is, because they have to fix it. It's like by necessity.
It's like do or die. It sounds like, not like, okay, we'll just keep kicking the can down the road and we'll deal with life later. It's more... it's imminent.
Yeah, there's no cans to kick down the road here. You're not kicking any cans.
They're like, we don't even have a fucking can. So yeah. And I mean, oh my gosh. So, okay. So what are some of the use cases? You know, we were talking about human rights, obviously, and you brought up the trafficking, like human trafficking. How can Bitcoin solve for this obviously huge global issue that we face, you know, that some people are victims of?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lady named Maren Estefano, and she's originally from Eritrea, but she's now currently in Uganda. And her whole story revolves around people that are being literally taken as they're trying to flee from Eritrea into different countries. They're being taken and sold at the border to different warlords or, you know, tyrants or whoever they're being sold to. And because they're trying to get ransom money for these human beings, they will call a family member or whoever they're going to. Let's say they're going to get a job in Sweden. They would call the job in Sweden and tell them, hey, you know, you need to pay this money or this person's going to die. Or they would call the family member back home in Eritrea and say, you need to pay this money or this person's going to die. And she ended up getting some of these calls and started trying to raise money to pay the ransom to save these people's lives. And it happened once and it happened twice. And all of a sudden, her number became a well-known number among refugees, where if you get in trouble, you call this number, because this person might be able to help you get out of the life and death situation you're in, where you're going to get sold to somebody in Libya or you get transferred, you know, via human trafficking. Young people, I'm talking about kids as young as 2 years old, are being
human trafficked,
you know, for profit. Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention the fact that this happens on a regular basis, and this happens to the point where if they don't pay the ransom, they actually kill the person because they have many more to go get, try to get ransom out of. So people are in real danger of dying if the ransom isn't paid. It's not a bluff. So,
Bitcoin?
She tries her best to raise funds.
And how does Bitcoin, you know, offer some solutions to this awful problem? Right.
So the problem, so you can imagine, these people are asking for $20,000, $30,000, right? How do you transfer that much money without raising a red flag? You know, you can't do Western Union. Western Union taps not at $4,500, right? Any wire transfer over $10,000 is going to be flagged. Yeah. So Bitcoin allows for you to be able to move the money across the international borders, and then in the country that the kidnapper or the ransom person in that country that they want to get the money, somebody locally can get the Bitcoin, sell it for whatever amount, and transfer the money there. So it removes all the regulatory barriers from paying a ransom, because sometimes, you know, the barriers are there for the protection of consumers if you're trying to purchase something, which makes sense sometimes. But if you're trying to pay a ransom and the ransom, the kidnapper is giving you an hour to pay it, you don't have 2 days to wait for a wire transfer.
Wow. Wow. I that's just never even crossed my mind.
Bitcoin solves the speed problem. Yeah.
The speed problem.
Bitcoin solved that problem for you. And it's like, and the volume too. Like, if, you know, if you can't transfer enough money, the kidnapper is also going to, you know, do the wrong thing. So it's one of those real, real solutions that hit me hard when I heard that it solved it.
And it's one of those things too, that's it's counterintuitive, because at first you think like, oh, we don't want to give money to these people and we don't want to give them the ransom, but the other choice is you're dead. It sounds like there's it's and quickly. Right. And yeah. So it's not, it, this is yep. not a, a, oh God, this sucks, dude. Okay. We're warriors.
I mean, I say it's heavy. Yeah. It's heavy.
It's fucking heavy. Yeah. And it's this like, is where I want
you talk about Bitcoin, peace and love and one love Bitcoin. And, but you have, we have to remember that this it's heavy stuff too, that we're fixing. We're not just fixing the hype stuff. We're fixing the bad stuff too.
Well, and I keep referring, you know, and I know you do too. It's like Bitcoin is life or death. And this is the most, this is one of the biggest examples of it. Not even just the money printer going and, you know, making money for the military to go drop bombs, et cetera, or people not being able to eat, feed their kids and they have mental health crises. But this is another life and death situation where we need a tool to help people who are at risk of being murdered very quickly. And so we really, let's do like, and I know we only got a little bit of time, but I really would love to do a deeper dive episode with you. And yes, we're probably going to cry during the episode, Dredd, you know, and but I want to do one about the life and death nature of Bitcoin, you know, and really go a little bit deeper with you. And perhaps maybe we can even get a panel of some of the folks, like this woman who you were speaking of. Is it Marion?
Maren.
Yeah, I have the worst handwriting. but perhaps we could get, if people are interested, you know, if some of the folks are interested, we could do a separate show and really dive deep into, you know, some of the use cases and implications of why this is so important for human rights, you know, and why it's important for life and death of different, you know, people.
I would love to hear that. And I think until then, there is a documentary that people can watch if they want to see the work that she's doing. She has I think it's either a documentary or an interview, actually called The Sounds of Torture.
Oh my and, God.
Yeah, you should be able to look that. I think I said that correctly. If not, I'll send you the link. You can put it in your show notes. But
okay.
She has it really gives you a good view on what's happening and how she's trying to solve the problem. She's saved over 50,000 refugees already.
What? Oh yeah. My God.
Just with using negotiations and you know, helping to free them from their captors.
Oh my God. This is like, it's just so hard to believe that this still exists in our on Earth today,
yeah.
You know, and with all of our abilities and technologies, it's like, how can we even let this happen to one human being, let alone 50,000? And those are obviously, that's probably just a sliver of how many people are suffering with this.
Just the ones that got saved.
Yeah. And
yeah.
It's
so when people like Nico from Simply Bitcoin say it's Bitcoin or slavery, he's not kidding. It's literally Bitcoin or slavery.
Wow.
You need to realize that that's not a hyperbole, you know?
Yeah, it's not. And I think the more that we obviously get to use the gift of storytelling and our channels of communication with the world, like it's up to us, you know, to understand these stories and get them out there, you know, in a way that people really understand the tangibility of this. Because even, you know, what, you know, you're talking about even just the inflationary aspect of, you know, certain currency, local currencies versus the volatility of Bitcoin, right? It's like, it's less volatile than the inflation that people are dealing with in their local fiat currencies, you know? So I think again, it's nuts.
Sorry, not only is it less volatile, Bitcoin itself, because Bitcoin is a bearer asset, they're going to act as its own reserve currency. So Bitcoin itself, if you look at the conversion between the US dollar to Bitcoin to Naira versus going through the US dollar exchange rate, you actually get a higher currency conversion changing into local currency here. Like, people make money using Bitcoin to exchange.
Wow.
As opposed to the regular Forex market. It's crazy. The Bitcoin exchange market is a truer indication of value than the actual Forex market.
That's amazing. How are the governments, like, obviously each government has got its own way of handling, you know, their own fiat and then this whole Bitcoin adoption. I mean, what's the, and I know the continent of Africa is huge. Like, is there any kind of like trend that you see happening that they're like, yeah, this is great for adoption, or they're going to try to squash it and, you know, stamp this out so they can keep their money printers going?
This is probably where my ignorance comes into play. I really don't know. I mean, this is my first time here. I've been trying to figure out, you know, I've been asking questions about that, you know, how the governments are reacting. But honestly, a lot of the conversations aren't really talking about, like, it's almost like they don't matter. I mean, you know, they do. But
yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter with what they're building here. And I would love to know, you know, what the government's responses are, if they're going to try to integrate it, if they're fighting it anyway, if they're just ignoring it, because, you know, sometimes they ignore before they fight,
mm-hmm.
and they're still in that stage. But I don't know. I really don't. And I'm going to keep finding out. Maybe when we have our longer form conversation, I'll have done more research and have a little bit more information on that.
Yeah. And again, I imagine it's broad, the answers, because each country is going to have their own thing. I'm always thinking in an adversarial position, you know, you know, a couple steps ahead of who or what could be in our way to, like, stop us, you know, from moving forward. And I love the whole sentiment that, okay, you can't stop Bitcoin, all these things, but I'm like, they sure can make it difficult in certain areas for people. And so it's like, how do we make sure that we understand, you know, what the possible chess moves that those guys are making so that we can, you know, make our chess moves accordingly too. Again, I'm not some political or economic strategist by any means. I'm just cynical of governments.
You have every right to be.
You know? Oh man, I'm so happy to see your face. And it's just so nice. And your great smile. Oh, love you, brother. So tell me, how long do you get to stay there? I know, it's so good.
So I'm going to be here at least through the weekend.
Cool.
My plans are a bit fluid still. So, you know, let's see what the country I end up in. As of right now, it's going to be a pretty cool, relaxing weekend. It's been a very busy 3 days.
Yeah.
The speakers here have been awesome. It's been intense, you know, but after, like, I'm going to take some time by the beach. I'm going to go relax. I mean, Jack Dorsey and Leopold and a couple other people went surfing yesterday, or is it this morning? That was this morning, actually. So I'm probably going to go check out some waves over there too and see how it is.
That's awesome.
And then maybe if I have time, I'll try to hop over to Togo and see what Lome Beach looks like.
And what is it called?
Togo.
No, but did it's you a, say if there's like, is there like a circular kind of like a Bitcoin beach over there?
Nope, not at all.
It's just waves.
Just waves. Cool. Just the city, you know, just checking out more of Africa.
And let me ask you this, because, you know, obviously we were just in El Salvador together and we've got, you know, Bitcoin Beach is going on in El Zante. We've got Lake Bitcoin down in Guatemala. You've got Bitcoin Jungle in Costa Rica. Is there anything, are there any little micro communities like that, these happening in Africa, like in any of the places?
Oh yeah, there is. Okay. Yeah. First of all, just in Nigeria alone, Nigeria itself is like a Bitcoin thing happening. Like, it's basically a circular economy already, you know, they're using it for businesses and peer-to-peer all over the place. So I can't even tell you one place to go in Nigeria. You just go everywhere and, you know, people, you'll find spots where they're using it. Bitcoin Mountain.
Ew.
Is another place, and that's in Cameroon, up by the I think it's called the Kube Mountain or the Mountain Cameroon. It's actually a volcano.
Ew.
Did you know that? Yeah, it's the third volcano now we've been talking about. There's the volcano in El Salvador. There's a volcano in Lake Atitlan in Guatemala.
Wow.
Now this is a volcano as well in Cameroon.
Is it active? Is it able, like, that? Can they go in and get the heat like they're trying to do from El Salvador?
Yes, they can get the heat. It's not active, like, you know, blowing up or anything, but it's geothermal. Like, they can definitely, you know, with the right partners, they can get the heat and actually mine Bitcoin with that. Yeah.
So exciting, man. I just,
yeah.
It's just so cool what's happening all over. I'm just so grateful, man. This is like the coolest journey. Somebody asked me yesterday, I was talking with Tomer, and we were just talking about, you know, depression, mental health, some stuff going on. And I had some stuff go on a few years back, and he's just like, how are you doing now? And I'm like, dude, I can't imagine my life without Bitcoin. It is pure hope. It's hope on a rope, you know? And I want everybody else to get that who is going through some suffering and some possible fear and doubt and that, you know, the FUD in their own lives. And it's like, Bitcoin is this gorgeous life raft of hope. And it seems like you're seeing that on the ground too, like really firsthand, not just, you know, lip service. Like, it's just great.
Yeah. I'm just shaking hands with everyone here, and you can just see that there's something sparkling in their eyes. There's a hope for something different, for something better. And that is that feeling, just it's infectious, you know, it goes around.
It does.
And the other one I was going to say is Bitcoin Ekasi. Bitcoin Ekasi is another community in South Africa.
Yeah,
and they started very similar to Bitcoin Beach with surfing lessons and communities, you know, like they've been doing it for 12 years, even before Bitcoin was around. So these communities are kind of already there. And I think Bitcoin is just supercharging them.
Ooh, I like that word, supercharged. Supercharged Bitcoin communities, for sure. Supercharged Lightning, supercharged Bitcoiners. Yes, so good, man. Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so any final words that you want to share with the world at large and on my tiny little podcast here? And whoever's listening, thank you so much and love you so much.
Well, first, thank you for having me. Thanks for making this happen last minute. I know we kind of hustled to make this happen.
Totally, man.
I'm so excited to be sharing all of this with you and your audience. I would say, you know, if you're not paying attention, you probably should be, because Bitcoin Africa is not just a idea anymore. It's not just something that might happen. Like, in front of my eyes right now, I'm watching Africa, the continent. Hey, come over here. I'm just talking about Bitcoin Ekasi.
Oh, no way. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, this is DJ Valulo. Valulo, this is Herman from Bitcoin Ekasi.
I know. What's up, brother? Yeah, great to see you. Oh my God.
Yeah, you can put these in action. Talk to me.
Right. He's like, I don't know if I want your earwax in my ears. Hey, aloha. Oh, now I can't hear you. Hey, you're off, so I can't hear you. Can you hear me? But I can't hear you. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yep. Hey, awesome. Good to see you again. We got to hang out and have breakfast in El Salvador and chill. And it was so nice to meet you. Oh, my God.
That was awesome.
It was so awesome. Dude, so what's it like? How is it like having this this conference? What are your vibes? What are your takeaways?
Oh, man, it's a phenomenal experience. I've had so much fun. I haven't slept. had so much fun, and it's just a really interesting energy. You know, it's obviously close to my heart because it's, you know, it's, I mean, I'm not from Ghana, but it's on the continent that I call home. So it's really cool to see so many Africans, and you know, I'm very positive about Bitcoin in Africa. But after this conference, even more so.
And so what do you think, like, what are your biggest takeaways? Like, what expectations did you go in the conference with?
My expectations were, you know, sort of maybe tempered because it's the first time they're organizing it. And I know doing something like this can be really difficult if it's the first time you're doing it. So I didn't really know what to expect. I was hoping that it's going to be, you know, as many African, you know, people and Bitcoiners as possible. And I think they've done a pretty good job to attract people from within the continent. I've connected to a lot of people from Africa, which has been really cool. I've met people that I hadn't known before. You know, I've heard about projects, you know, born and bred in Africa that, you know, I hadn't known about. So my biggest takeaway is that, I've learned a lot about what's going on my own continent. I need to do better to know what's going on in Africa.
It sounds like it's a lot. And it's, I mean, obviously in the whole Bitcoin world, it's constantly growing and evolving, but it sounds like your home continent there. What's one of the biggest surprises that you encountered with, whether it's a project or meeting people or just the energy of it? What's something that kind of surprised you about being at the conference?
I was surprised by the interest in circular economies.
Cool.
I didn't expect that coming here. You know, I came here thinking I might meet one or two people that's aware of what we are doing and aware of what the Queen Beach is doing, but I wasn't expecting people to be, you know, super interested in it because it's still relatively new. Like it's in Central America and South America, there's, you know, four or five well-established circular economies, but you know, our project is relatively small and it's the only one on the African continent that's, you know, got some traction. So there are some others that are starting up, but they haven't got that much traction yet. And I'm talking to them, but I didn't expect a lot of interest in that sort of thing. I expected a lot more interest in crypto, but I've found a lot of interest in circular economies, and I'm not that much interest in crypto, which is, you know, fantastic. Because that's the worst thing, you know, when you know these shitcoin companies come into Africa and try and sell scams to the continent, because that's what's been happening here for a very long time. So
yeah. Well, it's about time, right? So thank goodness for the African Bitcoin Conference. It's rocking it. I'm 100% next year. I want to be there and support and come. Yeah. There's just so many good things going on. I'm so blessed. I'm so happy to know you and what you're up to. And it's just
likewise.
Great. Yeah. We're going to be rocking it. Yeah. We're going to be rocking Satoshi, the cyber opera soon too. So that's going to be a whole nother fun experience.
Yeah, man. I look forward to that.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Well, it's so good to see you. And I hope you guys have a great rest of the conference and get some waves, man.
I'm gonna try. I don't think there's much swell, but I'm heading out to the beach tomorrow. Hopefully, I'm trying to get this guy to come with.
I think you've got a taker. He sounds like he's ready to get to the beach. So you guys are gonna have some fun for sure. Send some pictures up on Twitter.
It looks like he's comfortable on the beach, right? Yeah, I'm gonna pass these back and then. Thank you.
Appreciate All right, it. Cool. Well, aloha, my friend. Perfect. Oh my God. Okay. So your sound is off again. I know. That's like so serendipitous.
How awesome is this?
Dude, okay, I know. It's like, I swear. And did you go straight from El Salvador there? Or did you go home first and then go?
Guatemala first. I went to Bitcoin Lake.
Dude. Yeah. How was that? With Patrick?
Oh my God. The view. I mean, if I had imagined something like the Swiss Alps in a tropical, climate, that's what Bitcoin Lake reminded me of.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing!
So beautiful. It was so
I can't
beautiful.
Wait. And then you relaxing. You went from Bitcoin Lake to where you are now, to Ghana.
No, I stopped home for a recharge and a change of clothes.
Oh man, you're so lucky! I'm having Bitcoiner withdrawal. I'm still having withdrawal. I miss everybody so much. I'm like, I want to go see everyone in person and have people walk by and just say hello.
Yeah, nothing but love, you know?
Totally. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go and I'm going to go get, we have the opera meeting starting in 2 minutes with all the visual artists. So we have like the music team and the art team. It's going to be really fun. So I'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the project.
Please do.
So good. It's going to be just so gorgeous. I can't wait. But I'm so happy and you just look great and you seem like you're just so alive and on fire for this. So thanks for taking time to talk with us. Yoo-hoo! All right, everybody. Yeah, totally. Everybody go follow Dredd at Pole Vault Dream on Twitter and go also follow AfroBitcoin.org on Twitter and go check out AfroBitcoin.org and go give some support. And next year we'll all be together. It's going to be awesome. Woohoo. All right, everybody. Peace, love, and aloha. Thanks again, Dredd. I can't wait to see you and hear some more journeys. And we'll set up that next interview, you know, when you get back and get settled. Okay.
Sounds good. Bless. All right, one love.
All right. Aloha. One love. Yay. All right, we did it. Hey, aloha. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, it would be awesome if you could help us out. Please like, share, and subscribe on all your favorite listening platforms. And our favorite listening platform is a value for value model podcasting 2.0 app called Fountain.fm. What's cool is you can stream sats to your favorite content creators so that they can keep making kick-ass content for y'all. So go over and check it out. And until then, really just remember, you fucking rock and I love you. Peace.